I would say that the start of this podcast has been a good one this morning with the on-ramp. So, Chris, I don't really have anything that I can say publicly about what we just talked about. So is it okay if I jump right into something that I've been waiting a couple of days to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Hulk Smash EDU. And I know I've been joking a lot about it. And I know that, you know, I keep talking about the book that's not soon to be released. Oh, and mind you, nobody's reached out to me. So people, like, I know you might be nervous. I know you might not want to part ways with your money, but just do it. Just reach out and let me know.
You know, that's pretty much in step with our marketing and financials, though, right? What we projected in sales, we're right about where we should be.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll tell you from the numbers side, we're okay.
Okay, but still, people, don't be nervous. You know, it's coming someday. So I had a student in my class come up to me and say to me, "I have an idea. I have an invention that I want to create." I said, okay, like, so when are you going to lay this out for me, if you want to lay it out for me? And she said, I'm not feeling good about it. Like, I'm not feeling like anybody would care, and my friends might make fun of me, and she's going on and on, right? So I said, well, you're going to have to think about that. Like, you're going to have to make a decision ultimately. I mean, I'll tell you as your teacher, go for it. You know, and then I brought up examples of how we do that in the classroom, how your teacher's kind of like a weirdo who's always getting you to do different things and think about different things so that one day it'll click for you and you go out and you'll create the next cure to a disease that nobody knows about yet, kind of thing. So I'm like, I'm all for it. So if you want to share it with me, I'm not going to make fun of you, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to encourage you, and I want you to innovate, and I want you to be creative. She's like, okay. So she kind of steps away. And then later in the day, this is like, when was this? Maybe this was Monday before all the snow day stuff and the bus cancellation and Valentine's Day. So later that day, she's sitting on the carpet in front of me. I don't know what she was doing, but I looked back and I saw the Hulk fists. So I grabbed one and I called out her name and I tossed it to her. And I had a big smile on my face. I said, put it on. Like, it sounds like you need to crush something. Just like that. I just did it like that. And she put it on and she had this look on her face. All the kids get the same look. They put it on and they just get this feeling of like, because it's so big around your fist and it feels kind of nice on the inside. Like, it's like squeezing your hand. So it feels kind of nice. And you know what she said to me? She said, can you toss me the other one too? I'm like, yep. So I toss her the second one. She puts them on and she kind of starts like fake boxing type of thing. And then I start just saying, like, whispering kind of thing, like, you're going to crush it. You're going to smash it. Get it out of your way. And it was hilarious because it was like, it reminded me of when people meditate and they use an app and the app's telling them, breathe in, release your attention. What I was doing that to her. I was like, just cut through it all. Just smash it. I kept doing that, and then at the end, she's like, okay, and she took them off, put them back in the little trunk that I have. And yesterday, she comes up to me, and she has a piece of paper, it's folded in half, and she says to me, I did it. And I was, like, looking down, working on something. I'm like, what did you do now? Like, whoa, what kind of problem do we have to solve? She's like, no, I wrote out my invention. And I was like, what? And I look over, and she's holding this paper. She's like, it's right here. It is typed. It's got a title that's underlined. And it's about like, you know, like a paragraph long. And she goes, I want you to read it. I want you to have it. I said, okay. So I'm reading it. And it's just basically what she's done is we've been playing with those spheros. And what she's done with her mind is she's created a sphero, like an assistant that travels with you everywhere you go. And so when you want something, you tell the sphero and it does it. So, like, you know, if it's a student version, so it comes with her to school and she'll say, sphero, what's the weather outside? And the sphero will tell her, and then she'll know whether we're going outside for recess or not without me having to tell her. This was the best one. She said when she's doing math and she's preparing to do her math, She tells the Sphero to do a number talk, and the Sphero instantly goes from the ground up to the wall, and it projects a number talk and takes her through it. So it's like her own personal assistant that travels, and it can levitate and stuff. And I'm reading this, and I'm seriously, it was a moment, like, for me as a teacher who is kind of creative, who kind of does something differently than other people, that is trying to move in a way to not think about what other people think when I'm doing something that means something to me. I was looking at this, I'm like, okay, this is awesome. So I said to her, like, well, can we take a picture to mark this moment? She's like, yeah. So she put the glove on, she held her paper, we took the Hulk Smash EDU photo, and then we posted it on Twitter on the class website. When we were doing all that, obviously everybody else was watching. They're like, what's going on? Why is she putting the gloves on? And I said, well, she'll tell you, but she smashed through something. And they're like, what was it? Like, what concept? Like, they're like, was it math? Was it science? Was it coding? Like, they're trying. And she's like, no, it was my head. And they were like, like, they're looking at her puzzled, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, it was my head. I was worried about getting my idea out because I didn't want people to laugh at me. I don't want people to make fun of me. And they're like, well, obviously he cares because he just took a picture of you holding your work with the glove on. And we all know what that means. So we've even set like a standard in the room. When people are wearing the gloves, it's because they're thinking through something. Or they've gotten to the end of a process and now they're feeling like, I smashed through that and I didn't need to. This is the best part, because this is so layered, eh? And if I was really had it together with the book, I'd be recording some of these things, but.
Well, it's here. Little did I pushed it out that we're doing a pre-book pre-sale Hulk Smash EDU press junket, but it's all here. And everyone that's listening right now is going to benefit from this, you know, impromptu, previously not scheduled talk. So don't stress it, man. We're good.
It's all free.
Yep.
For now, until the empathy engines kick in and we're making millions. But anyway, okay. So I love that they were saying at this point, we were able to smash something without actually smashing something. Nobody was hurt in this process. Nothing was really broken in this process, except for things that needed to get out of the way. Now, for me, it's all fun and games, and I'm kind of enjoying it. But for them, they're actually taking it and using it to help them. And that's the intention behind all of it. How can we do something kind of fun and silly, and how can it help us with our learning? Because after all, that's why they go to school, right? That's why I'm there at school. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you because it's kind of it's unfolding nicely, and it's the culture of the prop is really starting to take shape. So now we have, and then he said, now we have two kids in the room who have earned to wear them at the end. And I said, but they're not for the end. Like, you can wear them at the beginning, the middle, or the end. You just need to kind of, let's keep working with this. Let's keep working with this. If you're struggling, I might just toss them to you. And they're like, okay. You know, and I'm like, we're starting to build the norms. And eventually, like, somebody will say, can I just go get them? And I'll be like, yeah, you can go get them. And then eventually it will be like, do we have to ask to use them anymore? Like, so that there's that, oh geez, I can't remember what the term, the responsibility,
the agency,
but the release of responsibility, right?
Oh, I see. Right. Over to the kids.
Yeah. That gradual release over to the kids, because I did tell them, like, I bought those with my money, so I'd appreciate it if we took care of the things that I've paid for, that I've brought in for you. And they've been really good about that, but I'm pretty anal. So I want to make sure that, hey, you have to know where this came from and you have to treat it with some amount of respect or you're not going to use it. Because I tell them all the time, I don't grab your stuff and start wrecking them. So please don't do that to my stuff. they're learning a lot from it, I hope. I hope a lot can come out of it. For some of them, it's going right over their head, and that's fine. The fact that they smile when the gloves come out, that's huge for me. So I just wanted to put that out there. And then I'd love to hear your thoughts, and then I want to push you into talking about something in particular.
Well, yeah, I think what I like the we landed a little bit on this, I think, last week, talking about alter egos and that sort of power of being able to, I mean, it has a very specific superhero connotation to it, but I think that it also it creates an icon that is easily recognizable. It sort of is, you're creating a sense of fun within the wonder, within the gradual release, and also the students using it to, what's fascinating to me is that they're using it so specifically in alignment with what your intent was. Like, they're really catching on to this idea that this mantle, this little sort of these gloves create power in them and comfort. And even the tactile element, you say, like, they're so oversized. Like, and it looks big on your hand. I mean, put it on, you know, a 6-7-year-old's hands or whatever age, and it looks ridiculously powerful. So I love the connections there. And the second, and maybe more, one of the bigger piece here is that it doesn't have an end to it. Like this, that's what I'm starting to think about is, in this particular activity that makes it pretty phenomenal, is that there really isn't, right now it happens to be, let's say, you know, it happens to be the green glove, but that template or that idea can be kind of manipulated a little bit, because what you've done is you've caught an edge of thinking that would be really, really absorbent to a lot of other kind of alter egos. You know, who else could be your sort of your power up alter ego that can help you get through whatever that transition period that you're trying to? I love it. I think it's pretty fascinating stuff to hear you talk about that. I was curious though whether or not you were, you know, recommending any Hulk smash crushing on either one of the snow days, and you know, kids doing any big breakthrough, you know, maybe a task that you assign them to do from home or some homework, and just say, you know, crush it. You know, you too can do your homework. It's a great opportunity. You know, you have there.
No, I didn't go to homework, and I'm not gonna go. But this girl, just so you know, she did all of this at home. She didn't do this at school. So the write-up was done at home over the couple of days where we weren't at school. And here's the picture. There she is holding her work with the glove on.
The glove is massive, and it's totally, I love it. Totally works.
Okay, so I'm just looking at some of the photos from school. These kids are hilarious, eh? Like, they had some free time yesterday, so they made me some, like, Valentines, and they're like, put it over your face and take a picture.
That's awesome.
Anyway, that's what a primary teacher does when they're not dressing up and their room looks all colorful and flowery. That's what we do. Okay, so this is Black History Month.
Okay.
And we've been doing these amazing morning presentations at school. So someone at school has created or has found Google slideshows of a different person, a different important person in Black history. And every day, right after morning announcements, the whole school opens up the Google slide, and the person on the announcements takes us through each slide. And we watch YouTube videos and things. Like, it's pretty cool. I'm loving every minute of it. And my kids are really enjoying it because they're learning so much, so many important things. And you know, 80% of my class is brown skin. So they can, many of them can relate to some of these stories in terms of, like, they're learning about, what do you mean people are going to treat me differently because of the color of my skin? So there's that. Long story short, you said something in the on-ramp that I would really like to bring back. And I want to bring it back because it's Black History Month, but also because what you said I don't know, just resonates with me. You were talking about the Star Wars cantina.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about it, not related to how I'm bringing it up, but two things. The first one is the cantina is on the planet Tatooine, because I know you were asking about that.
I had wished I could sort of drop the full reference, but it was enough of a teaser that we got there.
Yeah, no worries. So Tatooine is the planet it's on, and it's the Mos Eisley Cantina, and Mos Eisley is a spaceport town in the Star Wars universe fictional world. I would love it if we could explore a little bit what you said about the cantina, because when you said it, I was like, holy cow.
Do you want me to set it up, or do you got it?
No. You do your thing, because I think that using the Star Wars cantina with intermediate kids, junior kids, high school kids as a way of looking at difference and celebrating difference can be rich, because they recognize the Star Wars brand.
I'll take it sideways before you take it forward. How about that?
You do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
Oh, and another thing, the Hulk Smash EDU stuff. I don't know if people know. They probably don't know because they don't really know us. Some of them do. Like, people who listen know me. Some people who listen know you. If you, like, when I ask you to tell me about what I just talked about, it doesn't have to be positive, right? Like, you can push back. And, I mean, people don't know this, but when you and I communicate daily, weekly, it's not always good stuff. Sometimes it's pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, how many times have you sent me one of your videos? You're like, what do you think? And I'm like, you messed up the volume on the music, whatever. Like, we talk like that. It's not always just pat on the back.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there, because you already know, if you didn't like what I said, or you have an issue or want to take it sideways, it's not gonna wreck the podcast. Or I'm just saying, like, sometimes when I ask you for your suggestion, I'm not looking for praise. Sometimes I'm actually looking for feedback. Like, what could I do better?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about it? I just want to put that out there, because you did say some nice things, which is great, but you know that you can push back if you need to.
Yeah, right? It's absolutely the me throwing some shine on there had part of it is here's where I go from a feedback perspective, and it's often so I don't just trip too far on theory. I'm executing nothing like what you're executing right now, nothing. I don't have this sort of like this tool or activity or this toy in some ways that's motivating my students in a way that yours is. I don't have a model of thinking or a template to sort of provide shape to it. I haven't lived any of it yet. So though, you know, I would certainly throw you back, you know, criticism or concerns at this point though, what you're developing here is so much in the prototype stage that my lack of experience, I just, you know, I'm still at the go for it stage. Just unabashed promotion, go for it, let's see where it lands. And as far as that sort of pushback stuff, yeah, I mean, you got me thinking actually how often we actually do disagree when we're talking like this in the morning. I don't know. I almost feel like there's too many episodes now to go back through and do fine tooth it too much. But what I will say is that I am of the type to sort of very quickly provide feedback, even when it's not asked for. Here's what I've learned about doing that is that if I have hope, it's the weird bit of reciprocity here. So my intentions are to sort of share at the heart of it, share information, even if it's sort of like loose or theoretical, let's just keep sharing, let's keep communicating. But what I have learned, and I think it's one of the byproducts of this weekly conversation, is a temperament of measure. So it's one thing to disagree, let yourself, you know, we've had a kind of passionate overlaps where I think I do it more than you, kind of jumping on each other's words. But I'm also trying to find ways to be a little bit more contemplative and to sort of receive someone's information before I try and box in something that I know. And so a rule that I'm developing right now is that I don't have any grounding in what you're doing. So basically I'm stealing from you. I'm plotting and planning. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to let you run with this. I may test drive something similar. But I actually don't, I don't have an opinion. And I'm going to take one more step sideways because you've connected these dots for me. I had a sidebar conversation on Twitter yesterday with Matthew Oldridge. And we were talking about the power of starting a tweet because you feel really ramped up, like you want to respond, and then delete, 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 pausing and not actually providing. So I think this is cool. You've introduced this layer of, you've opened the door to positive criticism and some, you know, critical conversation. Let me know if you have something that isn't just, hey, you know, some backslapping and high-fiving. I'm pushing a second layer is that through the process of you and I talking over the past 2 years, I've learned that that's awesome to be able to read when that's a possibility, but also know when to reserve and not jump in too far too much. Because ultimately I would be boxing it up in knowledge that I don't have. And the final layer is just coming out with, you know, the Oldridge conversation about sometimes it's good. It actually, I'm getting better at knowing when I just shouldn't say anything. And I don't know if it's like kind of nurturing that in myself. So that was it. Sorry, that was a huge, totally ripped. I hope you still have your starting point because I just have one more thing I want to say. So is it Moss or Mos? Is it Mos Eisley?
I don't know.
Okay. So the cantina.
We'll have to watch the movie and hear what they call it.
That's true. I actually don't know if it's Mos Eisley.
I'm going to stick with Mos Eisley personally until I learn it's Mos or whatever.
Mos.
Whatever.
Mos. Okay. So here was the cantina reference. I was talking, I'll try to just do information statement, not rant. I was thinking about the new different certifications that I see popping up people getting. And I saw a Lego certification and it just reminded me of sometimes things that school does and, you know, old people like me that just suck the fun out of stuff. And I just thought to myself, the best thing about Lego is dumping the box on the floor and let's just see where it goes. Now, to formalize it with a technical learning certification, it started, I got in my mind the whole cantina and how there's such amazing variation in the individuals that are there to the point where, you know, I asked you, like, do you recall seeing any twins? Like, how many groupings of similar? And there's not that many, although I totally want to go back and look to see how individualized it is. And where I went is I said that, you know, the different certifications that are popping up, is it creating too much dissonance? Like, are we now in a space where you can niche certify almost anything? And is that becoming the distraction to in-class experiences? And I also looked at it as like, you know, flat out the commodification of education. So I can remember back in the day when we were not comfortable with the idea. My high school said no to Pepsi because they wanted to put branded. I don't know if you remember this in your high school when there wasn't a Coke machine there. It was like a no-name catering. You might have had this, but it was like a no-name catering kind of company with the sliding doors and you put the change in. Like, we had one of those. This is back, so let's say around 1985, it's in the late 80s. There wasn't branded advertisements inside the school, at least inside my school. And I can remember there was a discussion around putting in, because Pepsi was either Pepsi or Coke, asked if they could put in a machine. And the students were kind of all for it. But then what happened was the machine that we had in there couldn't be used because it also had the other company's products. And it And there was a lot of uproar. They're like, what do you mean? You know, well, we really like, we like Sprite and we want to have Pepsi. And you're like, well, we got to get 7-Up. You can't, like, well, no, that's not cool. And I just wonder about if we're approaching the space with these certifications where you're actually going to have different brands saying you can't have that in your classroom because it's our competition. I haven't heard it yet, but I could totally see it happening. I mean, that's what happens with Coke and Pepsi. And there are other brands that are sort of on opposite, not opposite, but opposing corners, like Apple and Google. They still are. They're not one harmonized company. I like the fact that they're not one company. That's great. But it makes me think about that sense of competition and how it's kind of forcing more companies in the way that they sort of approach school, is that they, you know, that getting into the classroom, they get their sort of hooks into the classroom. And then in the classroom, all of a sudden we have, I'll use one of your pursuits, so many fluencies that the students themselves are having a little more difficulty than not communicating their learning to each other. Now, this could just be a hyper-differentiated classroom, so be it. But it got me thinking about the cantina and all, because it's just a noise level of all different languages, all different activities, all different interactions with no real harmony to it. I think that was by design. It was meant to make me feel anxious, like anything could happen in here. And it does, you know, the fight breaks out, like it happens. And I think that was intentionally set. So that was my cantina reference.
Yeah, and what I took from that, it's funny, eh? We're talking to each other, but you're dropping one thing and I'm taking something from it. And yeah, I just, as soon as you said the cantina, and even as you talk about the noise level and anything can happen, this is our society. Like, we are all like that, like the people in that cantina. You know, some of us are rogue. Some of us are decent people who are just in a space, taking a break, whatever. It's like, and the fact that they're all different, like I was telling you, I think maybe here and there you'll see like two of the same type of alien because they come together and they're having a drink or whatever, but almost like there's so much variety in that place, just like there is with us as humans. So I'm glad that you would allow me to pull out my piece of that puzzle, because, you know, you're talking about the stuff that I'm making connections to right now. Yesterday morning, before school started, this month we're at school, we're learning about mindfulness. And so everything in the building is wrapped around mindfulness and how to achieve it and what to do and all the good stuff. And part of the process is that our school social worker comes in on Fridays and is doing like mindful meditation every Friday morning for the staff. And after we're done, we talk about struggles and successes of the week. And the day before, on Thursday, we had a principal from our system. I think the only Black principal in our school board came to our school to talk to the juniors and intermediates about basically being a Black man in a white world. That's basically, I didn't get to go because I teach primary. But basically, that's what it was said at the mindfulness activity, was that that's what his talk was about. And the hook at the end of his talk was, because the majority of my school is brown-skinned, the hook was to all the students, why don't you think about taking who you are and what makes you special and bringing it into education so then you can use your gifts and talents and display that for students that you'd work with, and then maybe let them think about using their gifts and talents in education. So it was a really nice, your talk about the cantina connected me back to what people were saying about the talk from that principal, which has me feeling, it has me feeling at the moment really good about what I'm doing with my work and where I'm working. And that's good. Like, that's the universe, I think, patting me on the back and saying you did the right thing by coming to this school, just like you thought
mm-hmm.
the right thing. So thanks for helping me kind of see that this morning. And thanks for addressing Star Wars Cantina. If I could, I want to say, as a Google certified innovator, card carrying, badge wearing member of the Google ecosystem, I want to say a couple of things. So I do enjoy the perks and privileges, which there are not many, and the collegiality, which there is a lot of being a certified Google innovator. It used to be called certified Google teacher, but that's changed over time. When I applied to become one, I was really, there's a context, right? Like Google Apps for Education was relatively new, and we were in the middle of bringing that into our school board, and we were bringing in Chromebooks, and like it was, at the time, it was innovative. At the time, it was fresh. At the time, it was very modern when this was happening. And I was at the right place at the right time doing that kind of work. And so I thought I'm going to apply. I think I would like to be part of something like this. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the program. It worked for me at the time. Now, the number one thing that I remember from going to the academy, there was lots of memorable moments, but when you and I talk about stuff like this, I remember them saying to me, them being the Google people, telling all of us in the room, listen, if you need to use other tools and other products to continue to innovate and do wild stuff in your classroom and help your kids learn and to learn like in a modern way and all that good stuff, then do it. So, I mean, we would like for you to use Google products. We would like for you to blog and vlog and, you know, podcast about our products and how they're helping you in education. But if you find something that's going to help you do your job, you're not going to hear from us. And I was like, that's solid. That's real deal stuff. And look at what they've, in my mind, what they've done with that is that someone like me still uses, like I still take advantage of that badge, of that certification. And I use a ton of things with my students, all kinds of stuff. In fact, I would argue that my ability to do the things I can do today and to move in the direction that I'd like today and to be confident in moving in that direction, a lot of that comes from that certification, that the process, and being part of that team of people, that group of people who are very open to assisting. You know, some of those people helped me get into podcasting. Right. So it's not like this, oh, Google doesn't do podcasts. Google doesn't have a podcast platform. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's doing that. They're just like, can we help you? Can we keep you moving in the right direction? And so I'm really happy that I'm part of that. And here's something I'm going to drop. Here's a little bit of like the self-doubt, insecure side of Roland. The reason why these badge certification things are working so well is because people want to belong. People want to belong to something. People want to be accepted in things. And so I think at a very, like at a visceral level, a very low caveman, cavewoman level, people want to belong. And so these companies are, I'm not going to say they're taking advantage. They want to push their product, right?
I think it's okay to say, I would, you know what, they are taking advantage. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly, and I just, it's, I think this is the thing that I just so clearly have accepted, is that we've welcomed in big business. That's where I'm kind of going. That's where I just kind of, my landing point. I think there was a time I was trying to push off and say, not push off, but there was a little bit of naivete, I think, on my part to think that that public education wholeheartedly was being driven from grassroots. We have seen a shift. It no longer is. It is officially being driven, in part, one of the drivers is corporate Canada, corporate America. It is in the classroom now officially. And not only that, it's starting to create the hunger for it, where I think maybe you and I were talking about this, that, you know, there is an instinctive thought to go looking online or to pay teachers, which is not a bad thing. I think we just need to openly say, it's here. And if you want to be the teacher that's creating your own content and building your own robots and doing your own coding and, you know, soldering your own, makey boards in order to sort of do that stuff, that's cool too. And maybe those tools have been made more accessible to you, like some of the basic tools to do that. But I think also we just have to sort of drop the gloves, not the Hulk smash, but drop the gloves and say, it's officially in the classroom. Yeah, we no longer have place to say, well, do we really want Coke putting its branded pop machine in the front foyer anymore? It is clearly there. And I think to sort of ignore that in some ways is more problematic, because it really does, it suggests somehow we're more independent than we are. That's all. And I appreciate what you're saying about it sort of opening up that opportunity.
They're a business, right? Yeah. And their businesses need to make money to survive. And people, not just teachers, humans would like to belong. They like to be accepted. They like to belong. Most people do. And so I think when you take those two things and you bring them together, it's epic, because like I belong to a Google ecosystem, which to this day continues to provide value to me. Google really has put their money where their mouth is. They do support their innovators, like not financially, but they support us. Like I get newsletters that I read and they say, hey, if you're interested, there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity here. If you have something you want us to look at to help you with, click on this link, fill out the form, we'll get back to you. And they've been very responsive, especially the innovator people, like very responsive. And that's awesome, because when you're stuck, like sometimes I get stuck like everybody else and I just throw something out at them and they come back with, hey, we can do this or we can do that. So I like that. I like that a lot. And I'm glad that I went after it, but I'm also glad that I'm not chasing every single certification that exists. I'm not interested. The Google one happened to be at the right time, the right place. And hey, let me say that I kind of won the lottery, because they don't accept everybody that applies. And it's rubbed people the wrong way when they're not accepted. And I'm sure it would have rubbed me the wrong way too. And maybe I would have never applied again. I don't know. All I know is, I guess it was kind of meant to be. And I've met a lot of amazing people from it. And so the point is that those people were smart enough to say, hey, I see you there with your iPhone. We don't care. Just keep doing the work you're doing. And I'm like, that's the best thing ever. Because if they were to tell me, no, you're only here to support Google stuff, I think a lot of us would have gone rogue. We would have done stuff and not blogged about it or whatever, because we didn't want them to get to hear about it. But the beauty was, as we were sitting there at our sessions, you know, our instructors had MacBooks and iPhones, and it was like the running joke the couple of days we were there, that just, we're going to teach you how to use some of this Google stuff to do awesome stuff, but don't let that get in the way and hinder your creativity.
Can I point something out though?
Yes.
That was before their product line diversified. I wonder if it's a little bit more difficult now that they have their full fleet of Chromebooks and tablets. I don't know if their tablet fleet has done that well, but their Chromebooks and their Pixel books. I think that there's I'm calling it as I see it. I don't know if this is true. So how long ago did you do your certification? 5-6 years?
Sorry, 2014.
Okay, so, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there was what they were selling at the time wasn't tech, right? They were selling a sort of like a back structure that would lay on different tech. So the sort of the optics are, of course, you're going to have people using the iPhones and you're going to have people having MacBooks. And I'm not saying that wouldn't be true. I mean, their platform, their tools still work. It's multi-platform. Although I can't believe that that's long lasting, because now they're developing wearables, they're developing their laptop and well, netbooks. I don't think they're making, are they making netbooks anymore? I don't think so. Yeah, but they've narrowed it. So now they have the actual, they now have the tech to support their infrastructure. So I could foresee a squeezing of that opportunity because of the branding part of it. You know, it's the equivalent of, okay, if they're the Google brand, can we afford to have Apple products in the room to suggest that you can move away from the Google brand? And I don't know. I think their product line is different, which is just an extension of their philosophy. But I think it also has sort of set, just it's starting, the silo doors are starting to do this. Just a little bit. Maybe when you were there, they were kind of more like that.
Well, in fairness to them, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're doing this to their innovators. I mean, the program has changed. It's, you know, the group that was running the teacher program at the time is no longer running it. It's a EdTech team now is the group running the innovator program. And it's totally changed from what I see from pictures and blog posts and stuff about people's experience. I'm fortunate enough to know a couple of people that I've got to work with in a mentorship capacity. So maybe I'll ask them. I mean, it was a moment in time. It's not like they're like, okay, it's 2:00 on the second day of our Innovator Academy, and we're here to tell you that. It wasn't like that. It was just like, oh, and by the way, you know, if you're using a product or something out there that's not Google, just don't worry about it. Like, we're good with that. That's how it was at the time. I don't know if they'd go near that anymore. I don't know. All I know is for me, that was awesome to hear. And for me, since being part of that learning experience, I've had nothing but positive things come my way since with the people I've interacted with. And I use this podcast this podcast in essence comes from the learning and the things I picked up and the confidence I built from that Innovator Academy. I think everything I do now is built on those experiences, right? Like starting a blog when people were like, why would you want to do that? Whereas today it's like, oh, you got a blog? Of course you have a blog. Everybody has a blog. Podcasting, blogging, trying different things. Like, it all comes from that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a good experience with that. And I'm not chasing badges. And they're everywhere now. You can get a badge for anything. I mean, we could create a Hulk Smash EDU badge. And when you buy the book, you get, you know, we could even limit the certification. 1-year certification as a smashing educator. Like, there's all kinds of nonsense we could do with it. But we won't, because that's not what we're about here at the Decoded Podcast.
Well, plus we haven't really brought in a true marketing guru yet to help us with that. Like, let's be honest. We haven't thought every element of this through. Not everything.
There's so much to consider. So much to consider.
I just can't let go of the opportunity here. Can I push on you for a bit?
Yeah.
Did you want to talk at all about the idea of learning on snow days? Did we want to do anything on that? Do we have anything sort of new or? So let's start with context. My board has, you know, one of the small pushbacks in my board is that we our schools don't close. Our schools don't close. They remain open. You and I spoke a couple times in the past 2 weeks about snow days or inclement weather days. We may have landed on it last week. I really appreciated a conversation that you were a part of. I saw Andrew Campbell in there. I saw Heidi Swack. I'd have to check. I think maybe she had written a short piece, or she had, I forget, but she was in the convo there. And it was partially in response to, I think, the diversity of how different school boards respond. It was also, I think, partially in response to a conversation that was prompted out of Voice Ed, talking about, you know, learning. Does learning continue on snow days? And I thought it was a good conversation. Like, it was one of those, you know, you come across a lot of conversations online that you're like, yeah, okay, I've you kind of feel like this has kind of been talked about before. I get it. And then you kind of move on. This one in particular, it interested me because I felt myself changing allegiances a lot of times. Like, and I felt because I love using tech myself and I use it constantly to pursue my own learning. But then I said, well, how does that change? You remember when, I was talking about like school making Lego unfun, like the best thing is dumping the box and just playing. Like the conversation around snow day really made snow days feel unfun. And I thought, like, this is taking it in a direction that I'm kind of uncomfortable with. Now, flat out, I'm fortunate that both my spouse and I and like are educators. I'm also fortunate that my kids' childcare is at their school. So there's actually a stipulation is that our schools could be closed, and it's actually up to the childcare provider that's in the school to decide whether or not they're going to close. So there's like these extra layers of protection. I'm not immediately one of those parents that would be deeply, deeply impacted by a school being closed. Like, the idea of me having to have my kids there for a hub of care isn't on the front edge of my thinking. That's the first part. The second part is that by having sort of like so first off, when I said about making the snow days unfun, it's because there was that element of, well, if the schools are closed and the kids are going to be home, should we naturally be saying they should be working on schoolwork from home? Then there's the other layer of, if the schools are closed and it's a non-work day for teachers, should they be sitting by their computers at home and teaching classes from home? And then there's the other layer is for the kids that are at home and don't have access to the tools, should they be, you know, on one hand, going to a library or something where they can access it, or just not do it and fall behind? And I just kept on sort of pinging to all these different places. It just looked like a robust conversation. And I'm not quite sure where I fell on the end, because again, my experience is I'm in at some school on any of the days where I saw any of my PLN having their schools closed and they weren't going into their work site, I was at work. So I haven't experienced this day where I've been told don't go into work. And I thought it was a good, I encourage anyone to go back and check out some of the feeds. Like I said, Andrew Campbell was in on it. Stephen Hurley was in on it. I think you landed on it a little bit as well. Go back and check the feeds out if anyone's curious, because I think it's a conversation that definitely, there's a lot of little bits on fire still. And winter ain't over yet.
Yeah, so on the snow day, which was Tuesday, our school board closed all the schools, which is the first time it's happened this year. And I'd like to say we don't normally close. We're not known to close, but we closed that day. And Stephen had tweeted out about, you know, like, anybody want to come on the radio and talk about this? And I said, hey, if the timing works, I'd love to talk about it from my perspective with respect to the community I work in. And we talked for a little bit, and Stephen asked me a couple of good questions. His questions were all good, but like, he asked a couple that I wasn't expecting, like, you know, what if there's pushback on, you're getting paid today, but you're not at work? What do you think of that? And So we talked and it was a good talk. And then after a friend tweeted me and said, hey, did anybody talk about like kids just being kids and it being a snow day and the kids just go outside and play? Like, did anybody talk about that? And I said, well, not in my conversation. But then what happened from that is it got me reflecting on what happens at my house on a snow day. Now, keep in mind, I have a student in grade, I have a child in grade 3 and a child in grade 7. So what happens in my home on a snow day? This is what happens. My kids do some independent play. They watch TV. We do something together as a family. Not once have I said to either one of them over the past few years, hey, we got a bunch of computers here, great internet access, hop on D2L and find out what's going on if your teacher posted something. I've never done that. They've never jumped on their Google Classroom or whatever LMS platform is in existence over the past few years. None of them, my kids haven't said, hey, I'm going to do some learning today through school stuff. They've not done that. And I've not pushed them to do that. I've been more of the opinion, hey, you want to go outside and play? Let's do it. Let's play. Or we can walk to the rink if you know, it's shoveled or whatever. Let's do that. Like, so as someone sitting back talking to Steven about, you know, this day and age of like high tech and being able to continue the school day at home, as a parent, I didn't even go there. In fact, on a snow day, I don't see myself as a teacher. I see myself as a parent because I'm not at work. And my students, the ones I'm working with this year, I don't believe it would be equitable for me to try to push that on them. The whole like, okay, the next time there's a snow day, you all need to log in because I'm going to throw something out there in case you're interested. You don't have to do it, but if you're interested, I would have very low response. And, you know, some people might argue, well, you'll still have a couple. Yeah, fine. I'll still have a couple, but that's my decision to do or not do. It's not mandated. And now that I've had a chance to reflect on how I actually operate on a snow day, I'm really happy that I've had this opportunity to think about it because I don't operate as a teacher. I'm not like, I got to get on the internet and I got to find out who's doing what. Now, in the years past, I would have students, they were junior students, so you know, a little bit older, a little bit more independent. They would create stuff in their Google Drive and they would share it with me. So when I check my email, because I still would check my email during the day, check my email and I would have notifications from students. And so then what I have done in the past is I've actually gone into my Google Drive, looked at what they were doing and provided comments. I provided feedback. Oh, this is great. I love what you're doing here with your creativity. Hey, have you considered this? Oh, watch out for your grammar and your spelling. I see some stuff there you could work on. I've done that, but it was never an expectation. It was never, okay, when the snow day hits, this is how we're going to operate. There was no digital crash kit for a snow day. There was, oh, well, I stay home, be safe, and have as much fun as you can not having to come to school. Mm-hmm. And so I'm appreciative of my friend that tweeted me and said, hey, has anybody just laid off and considered that kids are just going to chill? And that for some kids, it's going to be a great day because they don't like going to school. They don't like the way a traditional school operates. It stresses them out. And this is one less day of stress. And I'm appreciative of that.
Yeah, I thought it was, I think part of what connected me to the conversation that made me kind of, you know, flat out, I think I told you this, my school board's going into contract negotiations this year. And the way that the leadership in the government of Ontario right now, the way the premier is leaning, there's some really, really dynamic and concerning statements that are being made about education and changes to education. And I'm trying to sort of see what are the sort of the lemming lines that are going to lead into you know, it's like the anthill, all the ants coming back to the thing. What are the little ideas that are happening conversationally that could be hot button items for discussions about contract modifications and contract changes? I got no play in this, but I think that this year, like snow days and the way snow days are actually structured, I know my school board in particular, I think I mentioned this last week, is re-examining their protocol. But the protocol will be based on the money that's allotted from the provincial government to a degree. They're gonna develop it, and then they're gonna be able to sort of work it according to the numbers that come from provincial government. I'm interested to see if this becomes part of the conversation and how snow days are managed and the requirements placed upon teachers to either be at school or be working on a day where the school isn't open. So that's what it kind of piqued my interest.
Nice. Well, yeah. I'm sure this is going to come up over and over again as time goes on, as contracts are dealt with. And, you know, I hear that Tuesday we're going to be hearing from the government about education.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is, rumor has it that there's going to be an announcement on Tuesday, and there's going to be an announcement about education. And, the talk is that there's going to be an announced cut across the board. And so we're going to see what that is and how it impacts the work that you and I do.
One of the things I read is amalgamation of boards.
I did see that pop up yesterday, that there's talk about that. Basically, there seems to be talk about everything. They just, you know, they're just throwing things out, and I guess they're waiting to see how people respond. And you know, did you hear about the autism thing? The way that a minister was strong arming in an organization, the ABA, the behavioral analysis people.
Yep.
Like, just, and here's the thing. What's frustrating for me is this is where we're at now. Trump politics, people who are in power just doing whatever they want because they pretty much know nothing's going to happen to them. It's quite annoying. And I hope people are taking note.
Or just paying attention. Well, just paying attention. Yeah.
Because they're going to get all sweet at election time again. And I wonder what they would offer all of us. But this business, I can't believe, it just frustrates me. You get one government that comes in, then they always do something that wrecks everybody's day. And then so we vote in the next group, and they, like, you know, the conservatives are known to cut and slash everywhere, including education. And yet here they are again. And for any of my friends or, you know, associates or colleagues that are like, well, you know, that we need some cutting, we need some slashing. Okay. We do. I mean, we need to be mindful of where the money is, but for goodness sake, like, our work is to help kids learn. We need money. It's not, I don't see anybody in education blowing the money, right? Especially at the classroom level. We're not, dude, I hold on to pencils. Like, my pencils in my classroom are like gold. They are as significant and as valuable as gold.
Can I?
A kid comes to me like, I need a new pencil. I'm like, not yet. Not yet. And they're looking at me like, what is your problem? My problem is that I've got enough pencils to, you know, last me through the zombie apocalypse. And that's been done on purpose because I need you to have pencils. And so we can't just be nilly-willy breaking them and tossing them around. We need that tool. Archaic as it is, I need pencils. And they're friggin' expensive. You're up.
I was going to say, Pepsi and Coke, they're in the room.
Hey, if and Pepsi and wants to make pencils for me,
no,
sell them to me at a lower price, I'm in.
Dude, the reason I say that is that, okay, can I do a story? Do we have time for a quick story? Like, just,
I got time. You're the one that's got the time.
I know. I got stuff. So I've told this one before. I've taught summer school, and there was a time when I taught summer school that you would show up and you'd walk into your potential classroom, and resources are locked up, they're hidden away. And, you know, it was a regular thing to go to your own principal, your own administrative team and say, I'm teaching summer school. Can I sign out these resources to take to the summer school? So this is in the same board. And this became a pattern of behavior to such an extreme extent that, you know, you got stressed out about having the resources you need to deliver programming in summer school to the students that are part of your school board. Now, there's a bureaucratic layer to this that summer school is not run by the actual home school. It's done by continuing education. So you're not hired by the school. Teachers come from all different schools. So I get it. We're sort of, you know, we're meeting our extended relatives in some ways. And sometimes I'm going to ask them to use the bathroom downstairs instead of the bathroom upstairs because I just don't trust them. But I thought to myself, come on, like I walk into a classroom and I need to be able to deliver programming via an LCD projector because I'm starting to use Google tools way back in the day. And I'm using this fun thing called slides and there's nothing in the class, nothing. Everything is locked away and packed away. So I dealt with that. That's actually just a sidebar to the conversation. What was at the heart of this is that it could have been an LCD projector. It could have been tape. It could have been foolscap. It could have been all these things that you ended up kind of like hustling to try and get into your classroom. This might not have been everyone's experience. This was my experience, but I've shared the story and I had a few people kind of go, yeah, that kind of happened to me. I didn't know there was no sharpener in the room. There's no pencil sharpener. So all the pencils you had would have been completely useless to a degree because you're showing up with your fat stack and nothing to sharpen them in. So I think that because it's the paradox, pursuing independent differentiated activities that are out there and it's just cool to get that Lego certification because along with it comes 5 or 6 Mindstorm kits or access to any of the builder sets or the random Lego pieces. But when that doesn't come through public funds directly, it doesn't come through public thinking directly. And when some of these things are outsourced, then it becomes the stuff that it doesn't become, oh, now we need to add resources so that we can continue this path. It becomes the, well, you folks are okay because. And I look at this as part of the sort of like the next round of negotiations is that there's a whole lot of great stuff that's been developed and hustled and brought in by educators willingly because they want to pursue cool venues and avenues of learning. And our school boards have kind of said, go for it. Our school board kind of looks at green tool versus red tool pursuits. So green tool would be things that are sort of protected. The board is bought into, has some sort of investment and kid information can be easily traded within it. The red tools are something like Twitter. It's like you need to have extra sign-offs. But think about doing school without Twitter. And there are teachers that actively use that as their community. Imagine if we weren't using that. There is no public education tool that mimics that. Now think of the amount of lesson planning that has been developed on the back of Twitter or professional learning that has been built on the back of Twitter. If the school board or the government said, well, we don't need to do PD sessions because we've noticed that you're doing PD sessions via Twitter. I think this is the space, this is the sort of interesting paradoxical space that we're in going, at least my board, going into the next negotiations. The fact that EdTech is not actually owned by public education. Messes with my mind a little bit.
You do that to people.
You know what? I apologize to any person I've done it to. In some ways, I really do. I wholeheartedly apologize. Sometimes it's just me opening up the floodgates and just kind of sharing my own kind of, it's happening to me too, but I do apologize.
You're looking at that watch. It's been a good episode, Clough. It was fun talking to you.
You know what? It was just for the date, to be honest.
It was just for the day?
The date.
Oh, the date. The date.
Yeah, the date.
So I'm going to be channeling you today. I want to bake some lasagna. Say something so it comes up big on the screen.
There you go. There's the scribble for today.
That's epic, dude. Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome. Our cantina.
I appreciate what you did there over your left shoulder. I appreciate it very much.
You like that?
I like that. I debated whether I should say something or not, but a thank you at the end is no biggie. I like that.
It's a good trio, eh? That's a good trio.
Very cool.
Yep.
Okay, well, have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, man. Talk to you soon.